In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
The first words to us this Pentecost season are those from Peter to Jesus. You are the Christ, the Son of the living God. It is upon this rock that the church is built. What an appropriate way to begin this Pentecost season, the season of the church, and also for many of you to begin your study of Greek, the language of the New Testament, the language of the apostles, and with all due respect to my younger colleague in Old Testament, it is Greek that is the language of heaven. A certain mystery, however, surrounds Peter's confession that Jesus is the Christ. Why didn't somebody make this confession sooner? In Matthew's gospel, we are already in the 16th chapter. Over half of the gospel is behind us, and yet no disciple of Jesus has made the bold declaration that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. But is that true? Is Peter the first to clue us into the mystery as to who Jesus is? Well, he is, in fact, the first disciple to make this confession. But we know from others in the gospel that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. And what is so curious about the Christological confessions in Matthew is that they are made by the ones we least expect and in the most unlikely circumstances. Matthew tells us, for example, from the very first verse of his gospel, who Jesus is, as he describes that gospel to us. He says it is the book of the genealogy of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham. Now, any first century Jew would know immediately that in this second Genesis, we are hearing about the Messiah, the Christ. And it is an angel from heaven who confirms this for us with Joseph. He confirms exactly what the genealogy has already told us. For the angel says, "And you will call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins." Jesus, Christ, Savior, Messiah, the one who will rescue us from our sins by the shedding of his blood, just as the Old Testament promised. And so the angel goes on to quote the Old Testament, a prophet in particular, saying, "Behold, the virgin will conceive and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel," which means God with us. Surprisingly, it takes Jesus' disciples longer to recognize that Jesus is God with us than it does those who are possessed with the demons. It is the evil Herod who first uses the name Christ as he inquires of the chief priests and the scribes where the Messiah is to be born. And then after the Sermon on the Mount, it is two demon-possessed men from the country of the Gadarenes who cry out to Jesus, "What have you to do with us, O Son of God?" How can this be that angels, an evil king, and demons understand as a matter of course that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, whereas his disciples, his friends, his relatives, human beings in general, struggle with this confession? But the demons know that the stronger man has invaded the cosmos and is present in the creation to bind Satan and defeat him. They know that the victory is at hand, that the victory of the Messiah, the Son of God, is already here. "What have you to do with us, O Son of God?" they say. "Have you come to torment us before the time?" The identity of Jesus is the key question of the New Testament, and it is the great question for us as well. For Jesus' disciples, the oral traditions that were swirling around about who Jesus was were many, and they were everywhere. Is he John the Baptist? Is he Elijah? Is he Jeremiah? Is he one of the prophets? And so Jesus asked them point blank, "Who do you say that I am?" And it is the light that dawns on Peter, who confesses, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." But why now? Why the confession at this point in Jesus' ministry? Well, the answer lies in what comes right before this confession. Jesus had just warned his disciples against the leaven of Pharisees and Sadducees, namely, that they should read the signs that testify that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. "Do you not remember," says Jesus, "the 5 loaves for the 5,000, and how many baskets you gathered, or the 7 loaves for the 4,000? It is Peter who sees in this feeding miracle that Jesus is the new Moses, come to feed his people with abundance, with leftovers, the cup running over. This now is the Creator who has come to his creation with compassion and mercy to heal and to forgive, to make right what has gone so terribly wrong." But the signs that they must really read will be the signs that will cause them to stumble. For immediately following this confession, Jesus will tell them that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things from the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed, and on the 3rd day be raised. This suffering, death, and resurrection he has done for you. The forgiveness of your sins is built on the foundation of Christ's shed blood and his breaking of death's strong bands for you. Your sins are forgiven because the Christ, the Son of the living God, has suffered, died, and risen for you. Check it out in the Greek, which some of you may not be able to do right now, but in a few short weeks, you will read these words in the living language of the apostles. And like those apostles after Pentecost, you will not be able to contain yourself as you go out and tell people that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.